Blog Talk Radio.
Yahweh, what's poppin'? Yahweh, what's up? Yahweh, what's crackin'? Yahweh, on my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on, yeah, what's good? Yahweh, what's poppin'? Yahweh, what's up? Yahweh, what's crackin'? Yahweh, on my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on. From the start it was Yahweh. He took me from the dark, put him in my heart. So Yahweh, got my mind Yahweh. Show me the times and the laws, the flaws of myself Yahweh. Let me know to turn to him, only glory Yahweh. Never bragging anything unless it be Yahweh. He the most high, he my king, he my lawgiver, he my savior. And I'm only praising Yahweh. Told me that my name was Isha, that's man of Yahweh. All fire of Yahweh, whatever it be, you know I rep Yahweh. On my wrist, what does it say? It say praise Yahweh. Y'all can walk another way if you want to, but I'm walking this way. I'm a Israel crew, full life, ride with my homies that be with Yahweh. Only companions, we praising Yahweh. Come on, yeah, what's good? Yahweh, what's poppin'? Yahweh, what's up? Yahweh, what's crackin'? Yahweh, on my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on, yeah, what's good? Yahweh, what's poppin'? Yahweh, what's up? Yahweh, what's crackin'? Yahweh, on my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on, JC, never mentioned by Yahweh. Nowhere in the Holy Scriptures do you see Yahweh. Mixing this catch, you call Yahoshua, Yahawashah, Yahuwah, whatever y'all calling him, it ain't Yahweh. Quran never spoke about the man Yahweh. I mean the name Yahweh, the Holy One Yahweh. Not a man that he shall lie, or the son of man that he shall repent. And y'all think he sent somebody that could get killed? What you talking, Yahweh died? Man, come on, man. You thinking that Yahweh lied? Man, you frontin' now. If you just open the scriptures, you'll see it right there in Isaiah 34 and 16. Yahweh only got one book, so let's look in it. Don't get too shook. Minister, reverend, pastor, whoever you are, you spitting disaster. If you ain't praising the Most High, who is Yahweh? What's good? Yahweh, what's poppin'? Yahweh, what's up? Yahweh, what's crackin'? Yahweh, on my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on, yeah, what's good? Yahweh, what's poppin'? Yahweh, what's up? Yahweh, what's crackin'? Yahweh, on my mind all day.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is, by saying hallelujah. Again, let me say shalom to my beautiful brothers and sisters that listen to us every week. And yes, I'm back live in effect. I know I've been missing, I was missing last week, was here the week before, and then missing the week before that. But I'm back again. And I praise the mighty Yah that he brought us through another week to the sixth evening, sixth night for some, that we might praise his holy, righteous and exalted name. Let me say shalom to our beautiful brothers and sisters that's listening by the way of internet. And shalom to our beautiful brothers and sisters listening by the way of Blog Talk. Truly, I know the only reason you're listening is because of your fear towards Elohim. And before we get into our program for tonight and the subject matter, of course, we're looking forward to our gathering in Atlanta, Georgia, November the 24th through the 27th. We're looking forward to the play, Deuteronomy 28, the Elohim we forgot. For it is a truth that as a people we have forgotten our Elohim. And of course, if you want to know how to get tickets or when the play is and how much the tickets are and so forth and so on about the play Deuteronomy 28, go to our website, worldgatheringisrael.org, worldgatheringisrael.org. Also, if you would like to know what hotel we're going to be at in Atlanta, Georgia, also go to our website, worldgatheringisrael.org, worldgatheringisrael.org. Of course, most of the people already know the hotel, but you can get all the information on our website. Also, you can get the information concerning what we will be dealing with, the subject matter, and what we are meeting on. And just to inform you up front so you can study and pray over this information on how this will impact us in time to come. One of the things that we will be dealing with in Atlanta, Georgia, is even though the Creator told us to gather ourselves together, O nation not desired, we seem not to be able to accomplish the thing that the Creator had prophesied for us to do. It is true, we have been gathering ourselves together for many years, many organizations, many congregations. We've been gathering ourselves together. But the Creator told us when we gather ourselves together, according to the book of Zephaniah, the second chapter, He told us to seek meekness, to seek righteousness, and to seek Him. And there's something, for some strange reason, and that's rhetorical because it's really not strange, this is something that our people don't want to do. We will gather ourselves together for many other things, but to seek righteousness and to seek meekness and to seek the Most High, this is something that our people have not had the courage to do. But it must be done. Of course, as many of you all know, we went to Virginia to do just that. But this still is a mandate. And secondly, we will be discussing, well, along with that, gathering ourselves together, the reasons we have not been successful is because there's a lot of division amongst Israel. Did the Almighty cause this division? Is this division something ordained by the Most High? You would think this division is ordained by the Most High because we haven't been able to come together. on the various life issues that plague us today. But no, Yah did not ordain this division. This division came as a result of our disobedience. And the Creator said this will happen to us if we did not keep His commandments, His laws, His statutes, and His judgments. And of course, as a result, our people are smitten with madness and blindness today. But how do we overcome it? How do we get past it? Well, we overcome it and get past it by the very thing that got us in the situation. And that is, we got to return back to the Most High. The Creator said, if you return unto me, I shall return unto thee. And so that's all we have to do. So really, we don't have to be divided as we are. And secondly, we will discuss, why must we be of two opinions? We only have one Elohim, one Father, one law, one way, with one people. The scriptures say, let every matter be established by two or more witnesses. So all we have to do is come together and bring forth our witnesses. Nobody have to fight. Nobody have to argue. We don't even have to debate. All we have to do is bring forth our witnesses to establish the things we teach and believe. And if we have the courage to do these things, the Creator will bless us because He knows we're headed and guided and directed by His Spirit. Now, how do I know that? Because undoubtedly the Almighty has already prophesied that we're going to be one people. He said we're only going to have one way. He said, we're only going to have one heart. He said, we will only have one king. That will be king to us all. He said, there will only be one shepherd, so nobody had to be confused on who to follow and what to follow. All of these things the Creator said He would do. And He will bring us into a oneness with Him. He said His name is going to be one, and He is one. So it only makes sense to me that if this is the desires of the Most High, this is His plan of salvation for His people, and that we have a desire to be a part of this remnant. It only makes sense that we will work towards fulfilling the desires of the Most High. Even though David did not build a house of the Most High, The Creator told him that it was good, that it was in his heart. And even though it won't be you or I or any man to bring about the oneness of Yah, Yah himself will bring our people together. Yah himself will give us that one law. And Yah himself will exalt the one king and the one shepherd. But don't you think he want that in your heart? Because if it's not in your heart today, why would it be in your heart in time to come? And we're going to get into some prophecies concerning what type of heart, what type of mind Israel should have, even in the last days, according to the word of Yah. Tonight we're going to talk about prophecy as well as politics. Of course, a lot of people are dealing with politics today. Many Israelites who tell you that all Israel should be have their mind and heart totally connected with politics. They should be watching the race between Hillary as well as Donald Trump. And the question is, should we? Does the Most High mention these individuals as he mentioned Cyrus in the days of old? Was this woman and man prophesied in the scriptures anywhere that we should pay attention to them? Or should we be paying attention to the very thing we shouldn't have never left in the beginning? And that is and was the Creator's word. Now I'll show you some things concerning politics. We should be paying attention to. Now let me share one thing with you. Because the scripture said there is nothing new under the sun. I want you to see this in the book of Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, so you can understand what I'm saying. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, and I'm going to read the 14th and 15th verse. And this is what it says. I know that whatsoever Elohim doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And Elohim doeth it that men should fear before him. That which have been is now, and that which is to be have already been. And Elohim require that which is first. And so what is this letting us know? This letting us know that the Most High don't change. The things that was, it's now. Even if you don't understand it, it is now. And a lot of people don't understand what the Creator means by that. But even if you don't understand it, believe what was is now. And that which is to be, because we all are thinking about the future and what will happen to us. Well, that which is to be is already being. And the Creator always required that which is fast. And why? Because the Creator wants you to fear Him. And He knows that if you are in tune with His words, in which our people have left, they left for politics, they left for the deities of the other nations, the customs of the nations, the kings of the nations, the ways of the nations. Rather than the Most High Himself and His words. In order for us as a people to fear the Most High, we must know His words. Because through His word is where we will develop our fear towards Elohim. Because then we will begin to realize what He say He means. And what He means He say. We will begin to realize that truly the Almighty is perfect and He don't make mistakes. And then we also will realize that everything He say, everything, His word, does not come back void. So learning His words, we will learn to fear Him. Of course, we have a lot of people teaching the word of Yah, but our people still are not developing fear towards the Most High. Because your fear comes from your ability to keep the commandments of the Most High. So you have to be forever in His word. And since the Creator don't change, let me just show you a few things. I show you some examples of what I mean. Then you can understand where we at today. In the book of Genesis, the 37th chapter, I just want to start there. Because it was something there that was foretold to our people that actually came to pass. And this is what happened. Genesis 37. And I'll start reading at the first verse. It says, I'm in Exodus. Let me go to Genesis. And this is what it says. And Jacob dwelt in a land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. Not only Jacob dwelt there, Isaac lived in the land of Canaan. And of course, as many of you all know, and should know, Abram, whose name was changed to Abraham, also dwelt in the land of Canaan and was promised this land, and it was promised that his seed would get this land. And it says, these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brother. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all their brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in a field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood around about, and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brother said to him, shall thou indeed reign over us, or shall thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told his brethren, and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brother envied him, but his father observed the same. And of course, if you did not know what Joseph dream came to pass. Now, this where some of the politics come in at, especially for our people. Because Joseph, when he dreamed this, he nor his father nor his brothers knew how this would come to pass. But it did come to pass. And let me show you when and where it came to pass at, and how many years it took for this thing to come to pass. In the book of Genesis, the 41st chapter, if you turn there, Genesis 41. In the book of Genesis 41, and we're going to start reading at the 37th chapter. Or the 41st chapter, the 37th verse. And this is what it says. And the thing that was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all his servants, because Joseph, once he went down into Egypt, and he was sold into Egypt, he interpreted Pharaoh's dream. And this was Pharaoh's answer to Joseph after he interpreted his dream. 38th verse. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the spirit of Elohim is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as Elohim have showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. So the very thing that Joseph dreamed, not only his brothers bowed to him, as we will see, but also the Egyptians, all the land of Egypt, bowed to Joseph. And that's what it meant by the sun and the moon and 11 stars, all his brothers. And I know a lot of people thought it was his father and his mother bowing to him, but no, the sun and moon didn't represent his father and his mother. That just represented Pharaoh and his people. And day and night, Joseph ruled Egypt. And nothing could happen without Joseph. Nobody voted Joseph into power. He was not elected to office, nor did he have to succumb to the constitution of the Egyptians. But Joseph ruled in the fear of Elohim. And every time Joseph spoke, he talked about he feared the Most High. Show you this in the book of Genesis 45. Right before I show you Genesis 45, let's go to Genesis 42. I'm going to start reading that, the fifth and sixth verse, and it says, and the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth, as the prophecy said they would. And just to show you how Joseph ruled in Egypt, one second, let me just get the verse for you. It says in the same chapter, the 17th verse, after Joseph proved them and act like they were spies, but he knew exactly who they were. This is what he said in the 17th verse. And he put them all together into war 3 days. And Joseph said unto them, the third day, this do and live, for I fear Elohim. So everyone, Joseph ruled in Egypt. He didn't go by all the various statutes and judgments of Pharaoh and the Egyptian customs. And as long as these customs did not contradict the Most High word, then the customs were fine. But if they had any contradiction towards the Creator's word, then Joseph wouldn't have done it, because he feared the Most High. And through all his rulership, he feared the Most High. And also, in the book of Genesis, the 45th chapter, because this was the time where Joseph actually revealed himself to his brethren. And this is real important to know. And this is what it says. Fourth verse. And Joseph said unto his brother, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am yourself your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me here. For Elohim did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years have the famine been in the land. And yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be ear nor harvest. And Elohim sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me here, but Elohim. And he have made me a father to Pharaoh, a master of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus said thy son yourself, Elohim have made me master of all Egypt. Come down unto me and tarry not. And of course, now he's revealing to everybody that this was the plan of action of the Most High. So what do this have to do with politics? Well, the thing that this has to do with politics is that the only time the Creator had us involved in anything, it was by his word. And the only time we needed to indulge ourselves in something is when the Creator sent us to indulge ourselves in that very thing. So therefore, who cared about the dream of Pharaoh, except for the fact that it was through Pharaoh who the Creator will have yourself to interpret his dream, that he might be a deliverer in Egypt. So our involvement in politics today, who sent you to participate in the politics of America? Was it the Most High? Was it to save our people? And are our people delivered at all? As a matter of fact, according to most, we seem to be doing worse and not better. Also, I won't go there right now, but even with Daniel also came into power by interpreting Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And as a result of doing this, Daniel ruled four different administrations. And he was the top advisor and ruled Babylon as a result of it. He was not voted in. He was not penciled in. And he didn't have to vote, and he didn't have to cow down or succumb to the customs of the people. And why? Because he feared Elohim, feared the Most High so much that even Nebuchadnezzar said that if anyone talk against this Daniel and his Elohim, that they will surely die. For Daniel's Elohim is Elohim. Now, why can't we fear the Most High that way? Also, dealing with prophecy in Genesis 50. Show you in Genesis 50. And we're going to start reading at verse 17. And this is another prophecy that I want you to consider, since there is nothing new under the sun. We'll start at the 16th verse. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brother and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the Elohim of thy father. In other words, they humbled themselves. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him, because he knew this was, they feared, but he knew there was sincerity in this thing. And his brother also went and fell down before his face again. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in this place of Elohim? In other words, we're not the Most High. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but Elohim meant it unto good, to bring it to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years And Yosef saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children also Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Yosef's knees. And Yosef said unto his brother, and I die, and Elohim will surely visit you and bring you out of this land into the land which he swore unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Yaakov. And Yosef took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, Elohim will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Yosef died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. And of course, as many of you do know, but if you did not, the Almighty did visit the children of Israel while they was in Egypt. And of course, anytime the Creator visit anyone, it's for a purpose and a reason. In other words, in the case of Joseph ruling Egypt, he was put in jail. His brothers hated him. He was snatched from his father and his mother. And a lot of bad things happened, but it was for good. And he became ruler in Egypt. And he saved many lives as a result of it. But then Yosef prophesied that surely Yah will visit you. Elohim will visit you. So down through the generations, our people knew that the Most High, the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, will visit them. They didn't know when. They didn't know how. But this was handed down to them so that they might know. And what was brought about for this to happen? And this again where politics come into play. And watch what this says in the book of Exodus, the first chapter. A verse. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Yosef. And he said unto his people, behold, the people who are the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Now how would you not know about the history of the children of Israel and the history of Joseph, who saved Egypt, who ruled Egypt, and made Egypt prosperous? What only type of king that will rise to forget about the great history of Egypt and how they became prosperous instead of impoverished during the time of Yosef is a wicked, racist king that didn't want to know history. And why do I say that? Because Joseph was too important to Egypt. And not only that, Egypt was one of the wisest nations on earth, even according to the scriptures. And watch what he said in the 10th verse. Come on, let us deal wisely with them. In other words, his wisdom was to deal with the children of Israel this type of way. Let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. But what did the children of Israel do to be grieved about, other than multiply? What about sitting down talking with them, meeting with them? No, because that was not the objective. And so what did this wise man want to do? 16 verse. And he said, when ye do the offers of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared Elohim, because as I stated, if you fear the Most High, you're not going to succumb to the customs, to the laws, to the practices of other people, because you fear Elohim. And undoubtedly, a lot of our people don't fear the Most High. And it says, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but save the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore Elohim dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and walked very mightily. So in other words, these midwives didn't make no excuses. They feared the Most High, and they were tested. And of course our people would come up with a bunch of excuses, but the Almighty blessed them for this thing. And they didn't care about Pharaoh, but they was not going to do this thing. So Yosef said, Yah will visit us. And of course now we got the cause, we got the reason. Because here, Pharaoh, now we're into politics, trying to kill the children of Israel, are killing the children of Israel, are killing the sons. And then, as Yosef prophesied, the Almighty did visit us. And he visited us during the time of Moshe in the third chapter of Exodus. And this is what it says in the first verse. Now, Moshe kept the flock of Jethro. And I may add, he was one of the sons that was spared. Now, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock through the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of Elohim, even to Horeb. And the angel of Yah appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, and looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moshe said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when Yah saw that he turned aside to see, Elohim called unto him out of the midst of the bush. and said, Moshe, Moshe. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not near here. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. So this is when the Most High visited our people. And of course, the Almighty said he will visit us again. And this is the prophecy that talk about this. And we may not have time to get into everything, but let me show you. In the book of Genesis, the 15th chapter. Because what I'm showing you and what we're talking about is how prophecy meets politics. And our only involvement in politics is through the word of Yah. And it's not the vote. It's not the buck dance. It's not to do all these other things other people are doing on the football field protesting or taking a knee or taking a seat or taking banners and going to the streets and protesting and or starting the civil rights movement or Black Lives Matter movement. No, these are not formed because the Almighty sent them to do such a thing. Because anytime the Almighty sends you to do something for him, what you're going to demonstrate is your fear towards Elohim. And you're not going to succumb to the practices and the customs and the laws of your oppressors. In the book of Genesis, the 15th chapter, this is what it says. In the 13th verse. And this is a vision and a dream that Abram had. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be in a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them. And they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterwards they shall come out with great substance. And for the life now, I don't understand how a lot of people don't understand this, that study history, that study the scriptures, that study prophecy. And that's rhetorical, I really do understand. But in truth, we have been a people that we're not in a land that is not ours. And they say we've been in America for longer than over 500 years. Well, that's kind of strange because America itself just celebrated their 400-year anniversary in 2007. So the people that call themselves America and Americans was just formed in 1607, according to their own records. So how can we be here longer than them? Enslaved by them, and they weren't even here. They barely could even survive a winter here. But in 1607, they actually survived. And as a result of them surviving, because of the Most High, they've been celebrating that time and that place, which is Jamestown, Virginia. And they were formed there in 1607. 2007 was their 400-year anniversary. And of course, according to their records, we came in 1619. And they say the first slave ship docked in August with 20 slaves in 1619. Well, whether that's true or not, it don't mean that's where the Almighty started his 400-year count. But it could mean that's where he started his 400-year count. But the question is, how could we know? And what is prophecy telling us? Well, we can ascertain when Yah will visit us. He said we will go out in great substance. He said we will be here for 400 years. And surely there has to be a set of events that will take place that will indicate to us we're going home. Now, I know it's not just us suffering, because we've been suffering for 400 years. So I know this suffering is not the indication, because I hear a lot of people all the time, man, 400 years got to be up, man. Look how bad it is. Man, look how bad it was in slavery. Look how bad it was during the time of Jim Crow. Look how bad it was during the time of segregation. So if we're just looking for a time of suffering, a time of trouble, then it seemed as though we would have been left. So it's got to be something other than trouble. Trouble is part of the equation, but that can't be the very thing that should let us know and indicate to us, oh man, this is it. This is it. Is it Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton? Well, I hadn't seen no prophecy about them at all. Especially by name. One might say, well, it's going to be under their administration. Well, show us that. But there are events, there are things that you will see that can let you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the 400-year prophecy is at hand. But these are things you got to actually see. In other words, just like our fathers, they look for certain things. And we have to look for the right things, because if you're looking in the wrong place, then you're going to be forever deceived. And we're going to talk about what some of those things are you should be looking for. But give me a call. 347-838-8963. And if you want to comment on any of these things, press the number 1 on your phone. Man, I know many of you all are anxious to know what are some of these things that we should be looking for. Well, one of those things is the time. Years is the word of Yah. And even though you don't know when Yah started the clock, you know the clock is only 400 years. Now, if you don't believe that it's 400 years, it's only because you don't fear Elohim. Or if you believe that 400 years so happened to be the 430 years when our people was in Egypt, then you're still wrong. The Almighty know the difference between 430 years and 400 years. And so should we. And in that 400 years, there are certain things the Creator said would definitely go down. And everything that I will point out, they all have something in common to let you know it is the truth. And before I reveal anything, certain things, let me go to some of our callers. I'm going right to one of our beloved teachers at our House of Israel. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom, my brother. How you doing?
Doing excellent. Well, Ray Yehoshua, doing excellent. Praise the mighty Yah.
Praise the mighty Yah. The program has been excellent. And I'm going to tell you, as I was sitting and listening to the program, I was thinking of a passage in the book of Isaiah, the 40th chapter, because our people were so caught up in the system and actually believe this system can actually protect them. And I was having a conversation last week with a gentleman, an elder in Israel, and he was conflicted whether or not he should participate in this endeavor, in this abominable political system that our people are caught up in. And for some reason, they're under the erroneous impression that this is something that can save them or going to lessen the plight that is endured for them. But in the book of Isaiah, the 40th chapter, I just want to read a few verses, if you don't mind. It says,
no, go ahead.
Comfort ye, comfort my people, said your Elohim. Speak comfort to Jerusalem. Cry out to her that her warfare is ended and that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from Yah's hand double for all her sins. And the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of Yah. Make straight in the desert a highway for our Elohim. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. And the crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. And that's exactly describe how you just broke down how our ancient forefather Joseph not only didn't go in his direction, he definitely didn't go in the people's direction, he definitely didn't go in his brother's direction. Everything that he did to get in power was totally directed by the Almighty. And the same with Daniel, and same with all our ancient forefathers. And the Almighty never gave us occasion to serve the Almighty by not serving him, by disobeying his laws, disobeying his customs, disobeying his ways. And I like how you show that you have to fear the Almighty in order to understand his ways and his laws. And you have to be taught this, and you have to study, and you have to know exactly what he wanted to do, how he wanted to do it. And he never wanted us to go into a political system, and the very first thing we have to do is swear allegiance to something that's totally against him. You know, and our people just, I don't understand why they just cannot see this. And our people are scared, I understand, and our people are afraid, and that's the truth of the matter. But it's important that we let them know that, hey, the Almighty haven't forgotten. They haven't forgotten us. What separates us from the Almighty is our iniquities. And if we learn to start serving him and obeying his laws, his statutes, and his commandments, we're going to be just fine. And I just want to share that with you and your audience.
Well, you're absolutely right. We've got to keep his laws, commandments, statutes, and judgment. And it is true that everybody don't know his laws. Everybody don't know his commandments, his statutes, and his judgment. And some might know more than others. But what you do know, that's what you do. For the Almighty judge your heart. And so he knows whether you fear him and trust in him with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. He knows. I was just talking this week about a scripture that I love. It's one of my favorite scriptures. And I'll share this with you, Yehoshua. And it's in the book of Nahum, the first chapter. And I want to read this because I want our people to understand what they must develop in a time of trouble. And this is what it says in the book of Nahum, the first chapter. And it lets you know in the seventh verse, Yah is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. And so you can't face the front with the Most High. He knows those who trust him, especially in the day of trouble. And this is going to be our test in time to come, in the nearest of future, whether we trust the Most High or do we trust in our own way and imagination of our own heart. So it's good that you pointed out that we don't have to fear, we don't have to worry, but we do have to keep the commandments. So praise the mighty Yah.
Praise the mighty Yah, and that scripture is powerful. I appreciate that.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
All right, and I'm going to just bring out a couple other scriptures, but give me a call. 347-838-8963. Show you a scripture that very familiar with our people, and but for some reason, they seem not to have the understanding of it, and let's talk about it. And it's in the book of Hosea, the third chapter. I just want you to see this and read this and tell me what you think. Almighty said we will be here for 400 years. So surely that should be on your mind. Secondly, the Creator told us this in the book of Hosea, the 4th and 5th verse. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, without a prince, without a sacrifice, without an image, and without an ephod, and without a terebinth. In other words, we won't have anything to denote us as a people. We can talk about how we are people and how we the children of Israel, but it's just talk, because we have nothing that would denote us as a people. We have no images. Brother asked me and texted me, and he wanted to know, how do we know we're the children of Israel? He says some Israelites are teaching that we, some of us are Mexicans, and some of us are Spaniards. Or Spaniards are Israelites, Mexicans are Israelites, and then you got, you would think that from some teachings from the Israelite community, that our 12 tribes are from different altogether nations, altogether. Some of us as Indians. And it's really madness. But nevertheless, this is what they teach. So who knows who Israel is? Because it's all just talk. But there's going to come a time after we abide many days without these things that we don't have. It says in the 5th verse afterwards, shall the children of Israel return? Return unto who? The Most High. It says, and seek Yah, their Elohim, and David, their king, and shall fear Yah and his goodness in the last days. In other words, one of the signs that the Creator will give us in the last days is a spirit to seek him, but not only him, but also David, our king. Now, I know a lot of people don't believe this, so if you don't believe it, how can you expect to be part of something that you don't even believe? That's what Nahum, the 1st chapter, the 7th verse, is talking about. Yah is a stronghold in the day of trouble, and trouble will befall our people. And he know him that trust in him. And if you trust the Most High, you have to trust His word. And if you trust His words, you're going to fear Him, because you're going to know the very thing that He's telling you is going to come to pass. This is the fear that will be brought to you from His word. And what do it say again? And the children of Israel shall return and seek Yah, their Elohim, and David, their king, and shall fear Yah and His goodness in the last days. And some of your books have the latter days, which is the last days. The last days of what? The last days of our captivity. But who's looking to fear Yah? Or who's seeking Yah? And who's seeking our King? This is something that you're going to have to ask yourself. 400 years, the revelation of our King, and not only there, since every matter had to be established by two or more witnesses, look in the book of Jeremiah, the 30th chapter. For this, these are not the only things you need to be looking for, but I'm pointing out a couple right now. In the book of Jeremiah, the 30th chapter, this is what it says. In the 4th verse. And these are the words that Yah spake concerning Israel and concerning Yehuda. Jeremiah 30:4. For thus says Yah, we have heard the voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now and see whether man do travail with trial. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? Alas, for that day is great, so that there is none like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. And a lot of people want to know, what should we be doing during this time? And they strategizing and they planning for this impending danger. But the Almighty already let us know what we're supposed to be doing. And this is what it says. For it shall come to pass in that day, said Yah, folks, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, but they shall serve Yah their Elohim, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. And so the Creator is letting us know that during a time of our trouble, during a time of our deliverance, not only will it be 400 years, but it's also a time where the Creator will restore and bring back our King. And why? Because the Creator said He's only going to have one shepherd and one king. You're only going to have one way and one heart. And so you're not going to be led by anyone but whom Yah set up. And this who the Creator said he will bring back and set up during the time of the great tribulation of the children of Israel. Who else did the Creator say he will save you with? Or during that life? No, there was no other one that Yah named other than David. And the only question that you have to ask yourself, do you believe it? Do you trust it? And also, let me show you one more scripture. If I had time. In the book of Daniel. Now let me show you this one. And then we'll finish the rest. In the book of Zechariah. The 12th chapter. The Almighty said it will be 400 years that we are afflicted. And we serve our enemies. The Creator let us know that during the time of our great tribulation, we're going to be saved out of it. And in the last days, we're going to seek him and seek David. And we're going to serve him and serve King David. And furthermore, in Zechariah the 12th chapter, this is what he said. Seventh verse. Yah also shall save the tenth of Yehudah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Yehuda. And that day shall Yah defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them, at that day as David. And the house of David shall be as Elohim, as the angel Yah before them. So not only will he bring about this shepherd and this king during this time as a sign, but also this is the very first house, the very first tribe of Israel that will be saved. And there's many other scriptures that give us an indication of when the children of Israel will be saved out of captivity. So we have to discuss a lot more. And then we will discern. What do it have to do with politics? And the most important thing that we will discern is that him, that serveth Elohim, and him that serveth him not. Until next week, Yah love you, and so do I. Shalom.